I'm Kate Hawkins. I'm the Curator of Natural History for Manx National Heritage.
Can you start by telling me about the project that's going to be getting underway in the autumn on the Calf of Man?
Certainly. We are going to attempt to eradicate every last long tail on the calf so that it gives the breeding seabirds a chance to recover their populations, in particular the Manx shearwater, which is a burrow nesting bird and is very vulnerable to attack from long tails.
Tell me more about the species, the Manx shearwater. They're not a rare bird. They are found in quite a lot of places, yet they have the Manx name tag.
Yes, they were first described fully in a scientific fashion, if you like, from the Calf of Man colony, which was huge. Or at least we think it was huge, because up until the beginning of the 1800s, it was harvested. The young shearwaters, when they reached the fledging stage, were harvested by humans, and it was quite a lucrative trade. The poor fledgling shearwaters would be taken for their feathers and their fat, which could be rendered down for oil for armour and things like that. And I found a reference in the archives to them being shipped abroad at Liverpool, so that they clearly were an economic resource.
So because of that and the rodents getting onto the Calf of Man, a substantial diminishment in the colony?
Yes, we think that the longtails came ashore from a shipwreck around about 1780s, something like that, and it's quite possible that the rats found themselves in an ideal situation where there was food, you know, laid in front of them in the form of eggs, chicks, and even sometimes adults. There's even evidence to suggest that they'll attack adults if they're not, because adult shearwaters are not particularly fast on their feet. The thinking is that the longtails just had a field day and in a very few years wiped out the colony. Now, there might have been some pressure on the colony already because of the annual harvest. I don't think people at that time were particularly circumspect. They might have not wanted to wipe out the colony, but I'm sure they took as many as they thought they could get away with. So it's just possible, but I've no evidence for that. That's speculation, really. So shearwaters used to exist in their thousands on the Calf. They still have quite large colonies in on islands around the British Isles, up in Scotland, and places like Scomer and Scotcolm in the Bristol Channel, off islands off Pembrokeshire. So it's not that they're desperately rare and in danger of extinction. It's just that because they congregate in such large numbers on these few islands, and most of the population is in this northwest hemisphere bit around the British Isles, that they're vulnerable to all sorts of things, like their food supply suddenly going for some reason or another, to disease, but also to predation by rats. And it's that factor that we can influence. We were responsible for them getting onto the Calf in the first place. So we're at a point now where we feel we can do it.
So what has led you to that feeling that you can do it? Has there been a change in the rodent population there?
Yes, the bad winter we had a couple of years ago, and also some very hard work by the wardens on the Calf in putting out rodenticide bait around the shearwater colonies, seems to have led to a big reduction in the numbers of long tails, and that gives us a chance to get rid of them completely. It wouldn't be such a huge effort. Well, it is a huge effort. I'll describe that in a minute. But it wouldn't be quite so daunting as it has been on other islands. For instance, Canna in the Scottish Isles, 2006-2008, had a big eradication campaign. It's a bigger island anyway, but they had to eradicate quite a lot more rats than we are going to have to do, we think. We were going to go out in January, which is a little bit daunting on account of it being quite difficult to get to the calf.
Yeah, and even worse, very difficult to get back.
Absolutely. But actually, we ran out of time to plan things properly. These sorts of projects need very careful planning, and we just felt there wasn't enough lead-in time. And then we had all those autumn gales, and we couldn't get enough equipment and food supply for the volunteers and the team carrying out the project.
So what are the ins and outs of this call? How's it going to work?
Right, the idea is that we set out bait stations, which are essentially lengths of plumbing pipe with rodenticide in. And we set one of these out every 50 metres, every 50 metres on the calf. So you've got the whole island and Kitterland, because Kitterland is a potential stopping off place for the longtails to get across from the sound. Every 50 metres, a bait station, and it gets loaded with rodenticide, which we've chosen quite carefully so that it minimises the risk to non-target species. And go round, and once you've got your grid in place, you go round at intervals after that and check whether there's been any take of the bait and pick up any corpses that you might find. Then after that will take a few weeks, and then after that we have an intensive monitoring phase. We use the same points on the grid, 50 metre grid, but we put out, instead of rodenticide, things that will show us any signs of longtails, such as we put out chocolate wax blocks. They seem to love that. So you'd be able to see whether there were tooth marks in them, for instance. Occasionally rabbits have a go at those, but you can tell the difference in the pattern. So that's an intensive monitoring stage. We take a round of the monitoring points regularly. And then following that, if we're satisfied that there are no more signs of longtails, we then put a process in place, which is a sort of lesser monitoring phase. And we also institute a quarantine or a contingency plan, which means that we make sure that anybody coming to the calf isn't likely to accidentally let a long tail get onto the calf. And if one does get onto the calf and we detect it, then we have a plan in place to get rid of it. We then set out some more bait points around that particular point of entry. So there's quite a lot to do.
So providing it's a success, how long before you start seeing a significant recovery in shearwater numbers and, I suppose, other ground nesting birds?
Yes, that's right. We would, because seabirds, including shearwaters, are quite long-lived creatures, and they don't start breeding until 2 or 3 years old, and perhaps even longer for some of the seabirds, then and they only have one egg per breeding season. It might take a few years before we see a significant increase, but we expect to see an increase. It's not that we're going to get thousands within a few years, but we expect to see a steady increase in the number of nests that are occupied, and hopefully fledged birds.
And just finally, tell me which other agencies are involved in helping you out with this project.
Right, that's what's really good about this. This is what has made it possible for us. The Food and Environment Research Agency across in the UK offered, for a number of reasons, it was beneficial for them, and also as a kind of let's help the Crown dependencies and overseas territories exercise. It was useful for them to say, we'll give you our technical expertise and our practical expertise for free if you, M&H, if you can find the money to pay our expenses to get stuff across and get us across and that sort of thing, and sort out, you know, work permits, that sort of thing. And that means that there will be people, but we're able to use them without having to call on government funds. We've also been very fortunate in getting an offer of financial assistance from the RSPB, which is very keen to see the calf free of long tails. And we will have a little bit of help from the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture in terms of helping to purchase some of the bait, but it would be less than £1,000. The rest of the money for covering expenses and that sort of thing is coming from Manx National Heritage Trustees funds, so that's a charitable arm. It's not government money. So all in all, we think it will cost around about £48,000 to £50,000. But very, very little of it, a very small proportion of it is coming out of public funds. And that's what's so great about this. We're also getting cooperation and practical help from the Manx Wildlife Trust, who manage our wardens for us. So, and Manx BirdLife as well. Manx BirdLife are getting involved. So we've got a number of agencies. It's a multi-agency partnership, if you like, and that's what we like. We like a partnership approach. It means that we can all feel confident that something will work because we've got so many heads working on it.